Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we're continuing to examine what Jude taught about the characteristics of the heretics. So let's read verses 12 and 13 of Jude again together. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild ways of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Now, we've been exploring the first of five characteristics of the heretics for quite some time now, and several people have called wanting to know why I spend so much time with all these details. Well, here's why. In the words of Jonathan Edwards, I want to treat the Scripture fairly. You see, my Christian brothers and sisters, I believe that the words that I read out of the Bible are the most unique words in all the world. They are the only words on the face of the earth that are inspired, infallible, and inerrant. God Almighty literally breathed these words out. He exhaled them. And so to understand these words so that our relationship with Jesus is both real and powerful is the most noble goal of any man. So I want to make sure that I deal with these words rightly. I want to accurately portray them to you in the very same way that God wrote them. So please pray for me that I will be faithful and that all that is said and done on these broadcasts will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, we have a terrible tendency in our modern microwave culture of just hitting the high points of Scripture and then moving on. But that is a tragic mistake when dealing with the Bible. I am purposefully slowing this study down so that we may not just eat these words, but that we may chew them and savor them and digest them and enjoy them and be changed by them so that God's precious word may have the impact on our lives that it was designed to have. And you simply cannot do that quickly. People tell me all the time that they just don't have the time to spend hours in God's Word. And I reply to them that that is simply not true. Everybody on earth has the same amount of time that everybody on earth has always had. We all have 24 hours every day. Always have, always will. But we very poorly allocate our time and we very poorly manage our time. And that is why we are always in such a hurry. But even though that is true, we still do what we love and what we value and what we place a high importance on. We spend time with what we value. If we value making money, then you'll spend time in that endeavor. If you value your family, you'll spend time with your family. If you value football or your geraniums or your boat or your kitchen or the gym, then you're going to spend time there. And if you value God, you will spend time with Him. You will not pray if and when you find the time. No. If you value prayer, you will make time for prayer. If prayer is valuable to you, you will push other things out of the way. It is true that prayer, real prayer, fervent and earnest prayer, takes time. It demands much time. God designed it that way on purpose, so that we would have to value it in order to do it properly. So it is a requirement that if you're going to pray as God wants you to pray, you will have to sacrifice something else that you enjoy, something that you like, something that isn't necessarily sinful, something that is good in order to pray the way that God wants you to pray. That is the entire definition of what it means to take up your cross daily and deny yourself and follow Jesus Christ. God will allow you to make the choice between TV and prayer, between your murder mystery and prayer, between your golf match and prayer, between gardening and prayer. And make no mistake about it, whatever you choose, that is what you value. Same thing's true with the study of God's holy word. If you value the Bible, if the inspired words of Scripture hold great value to you, then you will push whatever you need to push out of the way, and you will make the time, however long it is, you will make the time to read it and study it and spend time with it so that you may understand it. And if you don't, It is not because God's word is not important. It is because God's word is not important to you. And while I'm offending some by saying these things, I might as well go ahead and offend everybody. We all need to know that reading a book about the Bible is not the same thing as reading and studying the Bible itself. Reading the latest book from your favorite Christian author is okay, I guess, but it is a sorry substitute for reading and knowing and loving and learning the inspired words that came from the mind and heart and creator of the universe. May I be plain with you? It is sinful for anyone who has been saved for any length of time to not know the Word of God. It is insulting to God for His people to value TV or the internet or video games or sports more than they value what He said. And the reason that the modern snake oil salesman can fool so many people so easily today is precisely because spiritual discernment is at an all-time low in the American church. And the reason that spiritual discernment is not exercised by God's people is because they do not know God's book. Beloved, we have no excuse. 500 years ago, if you were going to read the Bible, you first had to learn how to read, write, and speak fluent Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Latin, or else somebody else who could had to read it for you. But God dealt with people to literally risk their lives to translate the Bible into English so that we could all read God's glorious word for ourselves. And now we say we're too busy watching football or the Hallmark Channel to read it. We need to remember the sacrifice that people like John Wycliffe, John Huss made so that we could have a Bible printed in English. These men and many others were put on trial and were murdered by the Roman Church because they dared to translate the Bible into English. When Harvard University first began, it was a requirement that every single student spend 2 hours in prayer and Bible study before their class began, and class started then at 7 a.m. So Harvard students were up at 5 o'clock in the morning reading the Bible and praying before class, and that was just the business school. Can you imagine thousands of business students who graduated and went on to build the greatest economy the world has ever seen were spending 2 hours every morning in prayer and Bible study? No wonder God blessed this nation. Oxford, Yale, and Princeton, and all of the major universities in the Western world were not created to produce God-hating atheists that believe that man came from one-celled amoebas. No, these prestigious universities were created for the sole purpose of assisting the comprehension and the understanding of God's Word, because that was what the people valued back then. And I can only pray that it will once again become valuable to us again. Now, there you go again, Brother Blair, blowing something way up out of proportion. Really? Go past any church on the coast on prayer meeting night and count the cars. Then go by on Sunday and count the cars. If you want to know how popular the preacher is to the people, count the cars on Sunday morning. If you want to know how popular the singer or the visiting evangelist is, count the cars on Sunday night. But if you want to know how popular Jesus is, then count the cars on prayer meeting night. Count the cars on Bible study night, and until more cars show up for prayer and Bible study than to hear some singer, we must all know that we are not in any kind of revival. You see, beloved, lost people want to be entertained. They will come to your church to hear the singer. They'll come to your church to see the movie star or the sports figure or the comedian or even the politician. Sinners who are not born again will come for your hot dogs and your games and your picnics. But saved people will come for prayer. Saved people should come for Bible study. Saved people should come to spend time fasting and weeping between the porch and the altar and grabbing the horns of the altar and seeking God's face. Do you really think that we're honoring the sacrifice of the people who died to give us the Bible in English by letting the Bible go unread in our day? Do you think we will ever become spiritual by not spending time with God? If you were the devil, wouldn't you make Sunday the biggest sports day? I mean, if you were the devil, wouldn't you encourage pastors to close the door of the church so all the unsaved and lukewarm men could watch the Super Bowl instead of being in the house of God with their families? Surely Paul said something about that somewhere in the Bible, didn't he? I mean, surely somewhere Peter taught that something like that, didn't he? Surely John mentioned that something like that would bring a glory to Jesus Christ, didn't he? Beloved, I really wonder, whatever happened to the concept of the Lord's Day? Whatever happened to the biblical teaching that was made famous by the Puritans that God's people are not just to show up on Sunday mornings for a couple of hours, but we are to take the entire day as a time to hear God's word preached. We are to take a whole day every week to spend time in prayer and meditation. We are to set aside an entire day to fellowship about the things of God, to study God's holy book, and to be used by God in ministry to people who don't come to church. Whatever happened to us? I remember as a child when stores closed on Sunday so their employees could go to church. And we need to know that every time that Christians go shopping on Sunday, we are contributing to keeping those people out of church. I remember when nothing of any importance was on television on Sunday because nobody was watching television. Boy, we've come a long way. I mean, people start watching the clock right about noon, praying that the preacher will shut up so they won't miss the kickoff. This is what Jesus died for? If you were the devil, wouldn't you get people so busy that they wouldn't have time to pray? If you were the devil, wouldn't you get people chasing money so hard to pay for all their new and pretty things that they had no time to study God's word? If you were the devil, wouldn't you bless people right into hell? And if you couldn't get them to backslide into sin, wouldn't you try to get them to front slide into so much prosperity and so much stuff that it would suffocate their soul? If you were the devil, wouldn't you do those things? Well, he has, and we are all the poorer because of it. Because we don't pray, we don't hear. Because we don't study God's word, we don't know. Because we don't spend time with God, we spend time with other things, and we are now paying the price for that folly. And we need to recognize that it is the devil's business to rob us of prayer and Bible study time. When God's word speaks of the devil robbing God's people, God's not talking about the devil keeping us from a new job or a new house or a raise on our job or a new wife or more stuff or more possessions and more money. No, God is talking about the devil robbing us of the things that are truly valuable. Time with God, time in God's word, time with each other, the glory of being able to renew our minds by stealing away from the mad rush of this Babylonian system and ascend into the high and lofty mountain of God and to sit and to listen and to absorb what Jesus says. In Psalm 91:1, King David said, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Psalm 24:3-10 says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob, Selah. Lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. I tell you, to sit and to listen what God says, to sit and bask in his glory, to sit and hear his heartbeat and to know him and to find him and to love him and to hold him and to understand him and to obey him and to obtain him should be the cry of every true believer's heart. And we have fallen from that objective and we have been sucked into a system that is cruel and hard and frustrating, and it is not of God. And we need to break out of that system, and then we need to repent and return to biblical Christianity. And we need to change the way we think and the way we speak and the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves so that we may bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ and so that we may see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that is why we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.